Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 17th of August. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and Genesis Energy. We talk to saltwater fly fishing guru Matthew von Sturmer. Our freshwater reporters check in, and we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next full moon is on the 26th of this month. A full moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 180 degrees. At this time, 100% of the moon's visible surface is illuminated. What does it mean? Well, around the time of the full moon, fish are sluggish and less likely to strike at your choice of flow. You still go fishing, of course you do. You just put in more time and effort. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. The Sporting Life Winter Fly Festival was held in Turangi last weekend. We spoke about this for a while. By all accounts, another well-run fly fishing event. Congratulations to all involved. The Next Rise Fly Fishing Film Festival is about to hit New Zealand again. We will have all the dates and locations on air next week. Now, we've spoken about this a few times. It's still very important. Many rivers have closed now and it is prohibited to fish them. Different regions have different rules, and it is the angler's responsibility to know the regulations and to have a current licence. The best way to do this is to go to the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, select the region you wish to fish. All the information is quickly and freely available. If you're fishing the Taupo Turangi area, you will need a separate licence, and the season start and finish dates are different than Fish and Game. All that information is on the Department of Conservation website, which is doc.govt.nz. The Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club are having a trip away to the Ohinemuri River tomorrow and Sunday morning. So good luck to all those anglers. I'm sure you'll have a great trip. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked On Radio, Hooked On Fly Fishing Radio Show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Let's look at some weather with Met Service. For those people who want to go saltwater fly fishing, and I know two people are going out Sunday, the Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A series of weak fronts continue to move across the area today, followed by a ridge this weekend. A series of active fronts move across the area from the Tasman on Monday and Tuesday. The forecast from Manukau and Waitemata harbours, Saturday. Southwest 20 knots, easing to 15 knots in the afternoon and to 10 knots in the evening. Moderate sea, easing in the afternoon. Fair visibility in a few showers, gradually clearing to fine. Manukau and Waitemata harbours, Sunday, becoming variable 5 knots early. Northeast 10 knots, developing later, fine. Saltwater fly fishing Sunday, looking good. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Cloudy periods and isolated showers, clearing to fine afternoon and southwesterlies dying out. The Waikato and Sunday, on Sunday, a fine and frosty day, then cloud developing at night, light winds. Met service Rotorua, Saturday. Fine spells and a few showers, clearing mid-morning except about the ranges. However, the chance of an evening shower or two with a southerly change. Sunday in Rotorua, fine with morning frosts and light winds, high cloud and northerlies developing overnight. Taupo forecast. Saturday, cloudy periods and a few showers, some possibly heavy in the south. Showers clearing to fine in the afternoon as southwesterlies tend to southerly. Sunday in the Taupo region, a fine and frosty day, then cloud developing at night, light winds. If you're up and over the hill into Taumarunui, forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods and a few showers, some possibly heavy in the south. Showers clearing to fine in the afternoon as southwesterlies tend southerly. Sunday in Taumarunui, a fine and frosty day, then cloud developing at night. Canterbury Plains region for our southern listeners. Saturday, morning rain, possibly heavy, then fine. Southwesterlies dying out in the morning. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, fine with morning frosts. High cloud increasing from afternoon with strengthening northeasterlies. Thanks to Met Service for those reports. We do appreciate that. Now let's look at some river levels. The Punu River, down 23 kilometres south of Taramutu. Remember that above Sea Fun Road is closed. Downstream of Sea Fun Road is open all year. Punu at about 4 o'clock today was at 9 metres. It's flowing at 15 cubic metres per second. Too fast to fish. Dirty. Mangatutu River's closed. Remember, don't go there. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahake between Pairoa and Waihi, is at 12.2 metres and falling. It's flowing at 15 cubic metres per second, same as last week. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.51 of a metre. That's up on last week. And the Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is 76.4 metres and rising. However, it's flowing at 32.6 cubic metres per second. Dirty, too fast to fish. The Nongataha River at State Highway 5, there is no data available this afternoon. Presumably the meter's broken or something. Whakapapa's closed, remember, don't fish there. The Whanganui River, measured at Piriaka, is at 132 cubic metres per second. It's down from a high of 136. You couldn't fish that, you'd be swept away. You need to be very, very careful indeed. Tongariro, measured at Turangi, is at 40 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 42 a couple of days ago. As we've heard from Met Service, rain and wind is expected this weekend, especially tomorrow, Saturday. These rivers will take some more rain. They will rise and colour up. You can enjoy the fishing, but you need to be very, very careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent websites with real-time monitoring. Thank you. Okay, we'll have a quick break and then the first of our freshwater reports.
Do I ever cross your mind, darling? Do you ever see some situation somewhere somehow triggers your memory? Huh? And do you ever wonder? What became of all the time, honey? Do I ever cross your mind?
Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. That was Ray Charles and Bonnie Raitt. Now, Bert Robertson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. He lives, works and fishes in that particular region. And that's exactly why we talk to him on a Friday night, so you can find out what the hell's happening before the weekend. Good evening, Bert.
Evening, Colin.
How you up?
Yeah, I'm too bad.
Very good. How's the weather been since we last spoke last Friday?
Fair bit of rain. We had quite some heavy showers today. The rivers were already pretty murky, but we're due to have a fine weekend by the look of it, and so they could clear by Sunday, but they'll probably be fishable late Saturday afternoon, I imagine, if we don't get any more rain.
Okay.
There's quite a few fish around. There's a lot of recovering fish out in the lakes. We're hanging around the spawning areas, so you just have to be a bit picky about what you take. Otherwise, you end up with something that's pretty awful fish, really. Even though it looks okay, it's definitely not.
Okay, I understand. Lots of anglers around?
No, not too many. Most of the crowds are gone. We've just got the hardcore locals and a few out-of-towners coming in and those who are in the area and take the opportunity to fish. But, so it's certainly slowed down quite a bit as far as angler numbers are concerned. But the fishing itself has been, when the rivers are clear or not carrying too much colour, they fish quite well, particularly Utahina with brown trout. 4 to 8 pound, and Nongataha. It's been rainbows and browns up there, fresh run fish as well.
Okay. Now, isn't it, you're talking about the Utahina, it's basically a trout stream right in the middle of town.
Sure is.
Does this happen anywhere else in the world?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few places around the world. We're unfortunately not the only ones like that, but I know there's quite a few places in Ireland and Scotland where rivers run through the villages and all the towns, and the salmon run up the rivers. So,
okay,
always quite a popular place for people going there to fish in a urban situation. And it's because Rotorua is so big, and the Utahina stream is actually quite small, but the lake, Lake Rotorua, being our biggest surface area of lake, is. Holds a lot of fish, and of course they get the urge to spawn. They just run up the waterways that suit them, and it all happens.
Do we know, or do Fish and Game know, how many fish would be in like Lake Rotorua? Would they have an estimate?
No, I don't think so. But I know they estimate something like up to 20,000 fish a year just go up the Nongataha stream.
Just the Nongataha.
Yeah. So if you can imagine, there's. The Nongataha, there's spawning there, there's Waitati, Utahina, there's...
Marana?
Limited spawning up in that one, but there are a number of other places like the Ahau Channel, a lot of fish go out of Lake Rotorua down into there, but there's streams on the east side that trout run up. There's one just down the road from me that can have a hell of a lot of fish going up there. But you've also got the Fairy Springs... outlet. A lot of fish go up there, huge number of fish, and they come and go as they please.
Okay.
Up to a point, and then of course there's numerous streams. The one from the springs is close to fishing, but it's quite interesting. I was up on crossed over the road on a side shoot, and I happened to be visiting some people, and I wandered back down the road because I knew there was water in that stream, and it was in June, and there were fish spawning in it, and it was probably only... I could have jumped across it easily.
Goodness me, it's amazing, isn't it?
So, they'll colonise whatever water they can get.
Yes.
And that particular stream actually came right through from town. I think it comes out of somewhere at the back of Spring Hill, and a lot of it's piped.
Oh, okay.
But this was an open area, and the trout had come out of the Fairy Springs and gone up into there.
Okay, yeah. So lots of fish around.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is lots of fish around. There's still a few fish coming into the spawning areas. Rerefakaitu, we still will continue to fish, have spawning fish for, August, be September, probably into November, yeah. Usually does. You got Napuri, can be similar. Okaro, that's another one that's certainly worth a look, and great for spin fishing. There's limited areas for fly fishing, but for spin fishing there's some quite good places here where you can flick a spinner out and have the expectation of a fish on the end of it at some stage.
I understand, yeah. You're talking about Rere Whakaitu. I understand next weekend the Rotorua Anglers Club have got a bit of a trip out there.
Yeah, well, they had one not so long ago, and they did really, really well on the Sunday, and those that stayed over did not do well on the Monday. So it's one of those things. But that was probably towards the end of the peak of the spawning season. But there's always fish coming in there to spawn, and a lot of wild fish in that lake. Even though there's quite a good hatchery liberation in there, there is some very successful spawning in that lake, and it's certainly worth a look.
Well, that's right. They're going back. They loved it last time. Now, good luck to them. They'll have a good. And it's still high water out there, apparently.
And it's not going to go down in a hurry.
No, it's
I'm expecting a very hot summer.
Yes.
With a bit of wind, and so that'll evaporate quite a bit of water out of the lake and drop the level. But how much it'll do that is anyone's guess. But whether we probably need two hot summers in a row to be able to drop that level enough so you can actually get back around the edges again.
We've had a huge amount of rain all over the country.
We've had a phenomenal amount of rain. I've never seen anything like it anywhere for that matter.
Yes.
And it's left its mark. Several of our rafting companies have had major problems, financial problems, due to the fact that the Okerry Falls gates have been open, control gates have been open for far longer this year than they have in previous years.
Yes.
And, of course, over a certain number of chemics going down through the gates, they commercially can't raft it.
There's
kayaking companies here as well, and they just can't do it.
Too wet for everybody.
Yeah, and it's just too dangerous when that water is pumping through and the gates are wide open. At the moment, the gates are set around about 27 cubics, I think, which is 27 cubic metres or 27 bathtubs full of water going through per second.
That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water. And the area down on the weekends is a bit tough, but during the week, if anybody's in the area, it's certainly worth a look to fish around the control gates, below the control gates only, and go down the end of Trout Falls Road. There's some quite good fish coming out of there still. The smaller fish are the better conditioned ones. They haven't spawned, but there's quite a number of spent fish in there, but it can still give you a good scrap on on light tackle.
Okay, what sort of fly are we using?
Well, you get nymphs that area below the pools, actually in the bottom of the main trout pool at the end of the road. You can run a nymph around there on a slow sinking line or a floating line and indicator if you wanted to. You can let it go down the current, let your line go down the current. You can let it swing into the backwater and just let it drift around. You can have whatever depth of indicator of trace you want. And see how it goes. There's been a few fish down there feeding on the surface. Now, then generally those fish at this time of the year are recovering fish, and they'll take any opportunity to grab something, whereas the other fish that maiden fish in particular, they won't necessarily feed on that. They'll still be on keeping to the bigger food, because the white bait be starting to run. There'll be a few runs up the river. But once the white baiters start catching fish regularly, it takes a couple of weeks for them to move up the Kaituna in particular and come up into our area.
Okay, I understand. Now, you're mentioning, you were saying that you were thinking there's a good hot summer coming up. NIWA, I think, are predicting an average hot or slightly warmer than average summer. Is it going to be early as well, or is it starting?
I think so. The way the weather is at the moment, we've had hardly any frost at all down here this year.
Yeah.
We've had bees and wasps flying around in June and July, which is unheard of. So it obviously has been a lot warmer on some days, enough for them to wake up and go wandering around. So, yeah, the signs of spring are already here. You've got early flowering cherries out, everything's budding up, grapevines are budding up and stuff like that, so it's probably 3 weeks to a month earlier than usual.
Okay, I know that's happening up here. I pruned my roses a couple of months ago, and they're out already.
Yeah, we got them roses down here too. The stuff that I haven't actually got round to pruning and budding up already. So and breaking out with leaves.
Yeah. So now it's all good. Okay. Stream owls, night fishing or early morning fishing. Heard anything about that?
Yeah, that's certainly worthwhile going down and having an early morning fish. It's probably a better time rather than evening fish. There's plenty of fish coming up the tributary streams, Nongatoa in particular.
Okay.
Early morning is best, and there's a number of places in the lower part of the river that are still open that are easily accessible. And one particular one is off Streamdale Road. You can go off Western Road, drive into there, and then you've got a significant amount of access to the river. In fact, you can walk virtually right back to the to the village, Nongatoa Village.
Okay, yes.
Quite a nice little walkway, although it's been damaged a bit with the huge flooding we had, but a lot of repairs have been done to it, so it's not too bad, and anglers can put up with quite a bit of rough country anyway.
Yeah. Now, talking about flood damage, I looked at Bay of Plenty Regional Council website to get the level of the Nongatoa, and there was no data available today. I don't know if the gauge has been washed away or something's blocked it or something, but
yeah, may well done, because we I went through, I didn't see Nongatoa, I saw the Utahina, and that was absolutely filthy and quite significantly higher than normal.
Okay.
About Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, or Tuesday, and we've had quite a bit of rain since then, mostly overnight, but we had a couple of really heavy showers today, which is sort of knocked things around a bit. But the Nongatoa and the Waiata T both tend to clear fairly quickly because they're not overly long, whereas the Utahina is quite a long stream, even though it's not big when it gets to the lake. It's still a long stream and has a lot of feeder streams. And I think the big floods that we had earlier in the year, that huge rainfall, has done significant damage to the banks further up. And so you get a bit of rain now, and it just runs silt straight down into the streams.
Okay, yeah. Lots of runoff, because the water table's still really high.
Oh, actually, it's still very, very high. You have to dig very far down to get to find water these days around here, that's for sure. That does soak away pretty quick on the surface, but it's not far down below that. You know, we've got springs popping up where springs haven't been for years or have never been around various areas, so it does tend to make you a bit more careful about where you are and what you're doing. And
I understand, yeah. Now, if Bert Robinson was going fishing on Saturday or Sunday, where would Bert Robinson be seen?
Well, I'd probably look at, do a quick tour around the lakes. I'd probably look at if I got out there, if I was a Rotowahu. That's a lovely little lake. Depending on the wind direction, you can fish off Kennedy Bay boat ramp. That lake is very high too. But you can just run a Grey Ghost or a Green Orbit off there, or a Spinfish with the old Penny Spoon's a good one for there. Very, very successful spinner, but the access is really only the Kennedy's Bay boat ramp, so it's not a lot of point going out there just for that, unless you're prepared to spend several hours out there. If you've got a small boat or a float tube or anything, you could paddle around there and have quite a bit of fun. And then on your way back, you can check out wander down to what we used to call the dump. There's been fish spawning in there over the winter. There may still be fish around. Ruta is always worth a look during the day if there's no wind.
Yes.
And it's dead calm. Just sit there and watch for a while, and you may well see, and it happens regularly over yearly, you'll get trout coming in to have a whack at smelt and trout fry that are coming up to feed on the phytoplanktons on a calm, sunny day, which we're likely to get this weekend.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for that. Now, do you remember a place called Hongi's Track?
Yep.
Yeah. Is that still fishable? Can you still get down to that?
You can. You park your car off the road. You might need to do a bit of bush bashing. I haven't been down there for a long, long time once they actually close the gate, because the little track used to be able to drive right down to the stream running into Rotowahu.
Wasn't it a lovely spot?
Absolutely perfect. Yes. And I used to take a lot of the people I talked to fish from Hamilton. It was one of the places we went down. You could virtually guarantee that at least half the crew, so six or eight people, at least half would catch fish there. Yes. And they were good condition fish. And I did hear some years ago of an 11.5-pounder caught and released there. And that would have been back when I was still living in Hamilton and teaching there, but fishing over here. So, you probably have to do a bit of a bush bash, probably sooner rather than later, because... you do get the blue-green algae blooms in that lake, and sometimes with this weather pattern we're getting at the moment, I'm thinking we may well get an early bloom this year too on Rotorua.
Okay, I might have to go and have a look at Hongi's track. I don't mind bashing through the bush for a bit, because it's a lovely spot when you get there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And great, because the trout do run up that stream as well. I've seen them right up as beyond upstream of where you actually go in and park on the side of the road. That's my only concern these days. When I could drive in there, it was great because you have your vehicle close by, but
yes.
Now you have to park on the main road and walk in, which is about probably 400 metres, I suppose.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Yes, that is always a bit of a problem. Anyway, okay, thank you. Now, lovely, Bert. Nice to catch up. Thanks for the info. How do people get hold of you?
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Just give us a flick as a text or a call and I'll update you as best I can.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 0272896079. Good work. Thanks, Bert. Enjoy the fishing and talk to you next week.
Yep, I'll be here soon.
Thank you, Bert.
Thanks, Ron.
See ya. Mr. Bert Robinson, 0272896079. Give him a ring, text, ask him about weather, what flies to use, where to go. That sort of stuff. That's what he does. Thank you, Bert. Okay, we'll see if we can get hold of Mr. Matthew von Sturm.
You're waltzing around the room tonight in someone else's clothes. You're always coming out of things smelling like a rose. You hang your head and your heart is filled with so much misery. You'd be happy if you could be, if you belong to me. You say let's go to the rodeo and see some cowboy fall. Sometimes it seems to me you've got no sympathy at all. Keep on going. As you could be if you belong to me. It ain't easy to get through you, but there must be some kind of way. If only to connect to you for one moment of each day. You never figured out how long you had to live. You could feel like a baby again, sitting on your daddy's knee. Oh, how happy you would be if you belonged to me.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. And staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear. More importantly, they will show you how to use it. How good's that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Matthew von Sturmer is a saltwater fly fisherman. He's absolutely mad about it. He's also a charter boat skipper based on the island of Waiheke, approximately an hour out of Auckland City. Matthew is live on here with us now. Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening, Colin.
How you well?
Yes. I came back from the Turangi Fly Fest. Some bugger gave me a cold, but I won't be naming names.
Okay, well, let's start off with the Turangi Fly. We talked about it on air for a few weeks. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, look, it's growing year by year, and, you know, what an awesome effort that Andrew Burden and the team there at Sporting Life Turangi put on, and they really excelled and took it to the next level. The you know, just with the events and the catering, just superb. And it's a combination of things. So it's a fantastic opportunity for the fly community, the trout guides in their off-season, to catch up, for people from the South Island and the North, and us salt guys are welcome. In fact, Lucas Allen and I were given a slot to talk about saltwater fishing. So it's really a fantastic sort of demonstration of how broad the fly fishing community is becoming. But then it is so much good opportunity for people who are brand new to it. So there's learning opportunities, there's demonstrations, there's all sorts of people. And to be honest, the nicest thing for me is actually we all get to catch up and actually talk to each other instead of just liking or abusing each other's Facebook posts. So, you know, this, to get out into the world of human real interaction.
I know, I understand. And it's a good chance for all the punters to try all the different rods and lines and catch up on all the gear, as you say.
Yeah. So that's one of the neat things is that we've got the likes of Manic Tackle with latest offerings from Scott Rod. We had Loop, Grant February from Loop turned up. I'm with the Sage guys, and Toro brought the new Igniter series from Sage. And, you know, there's just, you know, a field. We were blessed with good weather, so a field of people casting, beginners and experts. And, you know, one of the really nice things is you can see people just picking up a fly rod, and if they're not quite casting the loops they want to, or if there's a tailing loop or what have you, you know, people are just offering some really good sound advice. Really fantastic opportunity.
Yep, good stuff. I only heard one criticism of the weekend, and that was that some of the venues weren't big enough to hold all the people.
Yeah, well, look, if that's the sort of problem you're getting,
it's a good problem, isn't it?
Just, you know, yeah, victim of its own success. Yeah. And you know, the thing will just continue to grow from strength to strength. So, yeah, look, good on Sporting Life Tauranga.
Yeah, well done to all involved. Good. Now, Matthew, tell us about your saltwater fly operation here on Waiheke Island.
So we're only 35 minutes, Colin. You know, you don't want people thinking we're an hour out.
Oh,
so 35 minutes from downtown on the ferry out on Waiheke, I'm running a 6-metre custom polyethylene, welded polyethylene vessel with a casting platform. And the ideal number, I'm licensed for 3, but it's a long, narrow boat. So 2 anglers is perfect. And we do some year-round through saltwater fly fishing.
Okay, and you provide all the gear?
Yeah, provide all the gear and any level of tuition, coaching, coercion, abuse, you know, whatever you want. I mean, I really enjoy introducing people to what continues to excite me. And to be honest, I mean, I keep telling people that I'm doing things now that I never thought, and I didn't imagine them. And I've come from 25 to 30 years of conventional fishing in the Harris Gulf. So I'm fishing places, and typically it means that I'm fishing much, much shallower places that I used to drive past. You know, the whole, and the theme, and so the way we're fishing and what we're catching and so forth has really opened up. And the core comment, it's about fly fishing. It's about casting. It's not about the size of the fish or the number of fish. And having said that, we do catch a few big fish, and we sometimes have days where there's 20 fish or so forth. But, you know, it really is the joy of picking up a fly rod and putting in those casts.
Okay. And what I like, Matthew, is that you're fishing shallow water, so sometimes you can see all the action.
Yeah, so the big excitement in fly fishing in the salt is around sight fishing.
Yeah.
And in the summer months, we certainly do that, particularly for kingfish and karawai. In the winter months, we're focusing more on the snapper fishing. The kingfish still turn up, and the karawai are there. But we, you know, I guess what I'm really promoting is that when I talk about sight fishing, it's more an observational thing. So, you know, I just want to get people on the water, give them the skills if they need them, or coach them into the skills required, and then it's all about observation. So you see things when you slow down, when you go close, and it might just be a scattering of bait fish, and the fly is a fantastic tool just to, you know, investigate. So you're sort of putting a fly in here, or you see a sort of a swirl or a, and I mean, having said that, sometimes you're standing there and suddenly the fish is right in front of you, and it's, you know, there's sort of nothing that beats it.
Okay, I understand. I'll just pick up on what you said there, slow down. I've got in front of me here a paper with some notes on it dated Friday the 6th of July 2012, and it was about some topics we talked on air. And number 10, winter, slow down. The fish have short bite times, slower metabolism.
Yeah, so that relates to a bunch of things. So I'm fishing floating lines and generally smaller flies in the winter months, and we're looking for sort of location. So if we don't see the fish, then we're just sort of looking for those little pressure waves, you know, in front of or a little bit of shelter behind a rock, and you're just putting those flies in. So, you know, one of the tricks is to sort of take the fly to the fish. They're not going to, as you're saying, they don't have the energy to exert chasing meals. So,
okay,
you know, if we're just putting those little easy-to-eat morsels. And the thing I love about the snapper is that, you know, they're awesome predators. When you look at them, the eyes are big, they're forward, they're up high on the head, they're very accustomed to aggressively taking things that are coming from above. In fact, yes, you know, when we slow down as anglers, we get to see things, we're not rushing in, we're not making noise, and you start to see the fish. The ultimate really is disturbing the whole scene as little as possible and seeing the fish behave as they naturally do.
Okay, because as you say, they've got upward, large eyes. They're very sensitive to movement.
Yeah.
People waving a rod around and wearing a pink hat or something like that. So a bit of stealth is required, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, the pink hat's probably an excusable crime. but the waving of rods and all the things that give us away as the ultimate predators. I mean, you think of the worst, scariest, most effective predator in the marine environment, and it's stinky old humans. And everything knows it. So, you know, we're talking 50-pound kingfish. I mean, I'm using an example here. I've just seen some footage that I was involved in fishing, and someone shot some video of, they weren't 50-pounders, but, you know, a couple of 25-pound kingfish doing their thing, herding up a bunch of tarwai. A fly lands, and you think about a tiny little fly, yeah, nearby, and the whole scene just everything spooked.
Yes.
So they're highly alert to the unusual. They're very sensitive to movement. And we as humans, you know, our profile, the regularity of our footsteps, you know, all these things are giveaways. So if you sort of, you know, start to think about stealth, as you say, then you start to use a lot of the techniques that I'm slowly learning the trout fishermen use when they're sort of doing that dry fly stalking, and it's very parallel,
very similar,
if that's,
yes,
the way you want to fish in the salt. And, you know, the results are there as a reward.
Yeah. Dry fly fishing in a stream middle of the summer, you can't create a bow wave when you walk upstream. Fish will sense that pressure movement. Yeah, you've got to be stealth. You've got a lot of experience now over many years. How do you think this winter fishing has been compared to previous years?
I think it's another good year. I think the thing that I'm noticing is that there's more, if you like, ambiguity around the seasons. So the big driver in the Hauraki Gulf is the anchovies, and when it's, and I mean, we talk about whitebait, but actually it's fry of multiple species, and they're small and translucent, and they they wash in with the tides and everything follows. So, you know, and then there's baby anchovy. So that sort of, you know, movement of the bait is the big driver. And I think what I'm beginning to see is that the patterns are not as predictable as they were. You know, we get some spikes in temperature, we get some really settled weather, and then we go. So, the good news is, from a fishing point of view, is you can really head out and expect anything. So, everything's there. Fish are there to be caught, and it's sort of interesting. Sort of seasonality is sort of just continuing to be a bit mixed up.
Yeah, I've noticed in the last two summers out on the boat, there's more fish around. Oh, I think it's fantastic. Now, NIWA are predicting a hot, windy summer. Does that affect you much? Does that help or does that hinder?
Oh, there's so many variables and there's so many things going on. I mean, you know, I'd love to see the anchovy schools pushed into the back of Waiheke beaches and we'll get the runs of skipjack tuna. You know, there's no bad wind on Waiheke because we've got 360 degree island with shelter and opportunities. And as I say, the thing that I'm sort of really promoting is the love of fly fishing. So if we can't chase kingfish on the flats, then we'll go and chase tuna or the bust ups of karawai along the shore. If that isn't happening, we can go super shallow. There's just sort of a lot of opportunity in any conditions.
You've got a lovely playground, Matthew.
We're a little bit blessed. Hey, have you caught up, Colin, with movements afoot at Rod and Reel? So Justin Cahill has moved in as the new manager.
I have met Justin, and I'm going in to see Justin tomorrow about getting him on here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, perfect. So that's exciting news for us salt fly fishers particularly, because he comes from a great sort of background of salt fly fishing, and he's got some, he described me as having, I think, wild enthusiasm. He's another one. So it does tend to get under your skin, the salt fly fishing. So really pleased to, welcome him into that position,
He'll be on here in the next couple of weeks or so.
Now, excellent.
Matthew, lovely to catch up. Thanks for the info. How do people contact you, please?
So, cell phone 021-865593. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and a website under the saltflyfish.com or Facebook. That's saltflyfish. And keep an eye out. I'll be doing a bit of talking at Rod and Reel from time to time. Yep. And hopefully Strip Strike will have a new venue to announce next time we speak.
Very good. Thank you, Matthew. Matthew Von Sturmer, 021-865593. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Colin.
See ya. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show, and I think we have time for the fly fishing tip of the week. One of the best pieces of fishing advice is to continuously change your location, your presentation, and your depth, etc., until you begin catching fish. Mix it up until it works. We'll be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.